Welcome to your doom.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
The Death Mark of Doom!
What's going on there, sexy people? It is your one and only Gaming Beast. And this is the first Beastcast in 2016. And, I just wanted to talk about a little bit, just quick here in the beginning, a little bit of looking back at 2015. And I think what we're going to do here on the Beastcast in general, on the YouTube channel, on the Next Round, and the Beastcast, is to become more regular. I've said this many times, and I see already you grinning and chuckling, but this time it's for real. Every time I try to do some certain changes to make the show, the Beastcast, the videos, all the jazz more regular, all kinds of problems came into the way. I think I gotta figure it out now. If nothing else, I'm gonna get you a Beastcast every week. This is the plan. Things might change, as you know. They will probably change, but for now, this is the rule. More or less, Thursday-ish, maybe a Friday. Usually on Thursday, that's the plan. You got a new Beastcast. 2015 was a year where I think we got all kinds of stuff out here. I got all kinds of stuff. And what I really am happy for is that the Next Round has gotten new people like Death Adder 83. And we've been just posting more and more content left and right, and it's been a great year in that sense, because especially now in December, we had the dawn of Death Adder's the Death Adder Super Show, and that's a great show. You should check that out. His shout out for Death Adder. Kaiser's return to podcasting with the all new and the next Kaiser cast, so it's all kind of a semi-rebooted version of the Kaiser cast, and you should check that out too. And CF being regular with the Tiger Claw Radio, just even though with all his busy schedule, still doing the podcast, which is freaking awesome. And yeah, also Alex Fury, Jesus Christ, what kind of names I'm coming up with here? Sounds like a Marvel character or something, like you're the illegitimate son of Nick Fury or something. But yeah, 2016, I wanna dive into more topics, and people have been saying to me that the Beastcast has become basically especially for the Next Round, the superhero movie podcast. I'm definitely going to continue to talk about superhero movies. There's going to be an episode completely dedicated to that, for sure. But I want to get back to some topics that are close to me, And definitely, we got some big-ass movies coming out. We got fucking Deadpool, which looks amazing. Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice, which that one is going to be interesting, because it could go, honestly, as much as people are bitching about it, I think it could go either way. Right now, I'm just not sure, because I'm not going to get into that. I'm going to do a separate episode on that, what I'm thinking about the recent trailers and everything. But I'm going to give this its own shot. What I'm also going to talk about is, I guess superhero related, but the TV shows. A little bit more in-depth about the shows that I've been watching, like Arrow and The Flash and Supergirl, which I've been enjoying a lot, and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Not Gotham, though. I'm not interested in Gotham. I gave that 3 episodes. It's a cop show. It's a detective show set in Gotham. Where, oh, look at that. It's supposed to be the Penguin eventually. But you'll never see him in costume, and you'll never see Batman because he's like a little boy. It's like, this is like worse than Smallville. But yeah, I'm not going to get into my gripes with Gotham, because it's like, I mean, some people have said that it started as the origin story for Batman, but it's become its own thing. I'm not really interested. Suddenly, by the way, I also see a picture for Mr. Freeze where he's has got a freeze gun and shit, and I'm like, eh. You know what? I'll go to Captain Cold and the Flash rather. You know. So anyway, I'm gonna talk about those shows. Also, what I'll talk about is definitely more video gaming related stuff. I think the tabletop role playing stuff I'm gonna leave to another podcast. I'm thinking of doing another one because we had the RPG Brigade cast, and I'm thinking I want to just make one. Just a new, it's going to be also RPG related, and I'll still have guests on, but it's going to be independent. It's just going to be my own thing where it's not, I'm not going to, like, I think the RPG Brigade is great and everything, but I just wanted to make it where it's like, it's got, you know, my name on it, so to speak. And I'm thinking about calling it Daropka's Dungeon Cast or just the Dungeon Cast or something like that. We'll see. There's a lot of different names. I'm thinking about it. So I can get all my RPG-related stuff out there. Now, that doesn't mean I won't talk about RPG-related stuff in the Beastcast, because I started the Beastcast with talking about old nerdy shit that I want to. And I will continue that. And one of my big passions is movies. Not just superhero movies, there's a lot of them. And I'll get back into that in a second. And one of the other things I want to talk about, of course, a lot more, is video gaming. You know, I've been doing my Let's Plays and stuff, you know me. I was talking about what review is coming out, but I'm gonna, those are coming out too. They're always a little bit more involved and stuff comes into way. I was on an internet hiatus, and through that, I decided, you know, I could still technically play if I wanted to my Steam games or my GOG games, but I was kind of interested in something else. I will get to that topic in a second, but the first topic, and I'm leading out of this from the update, what is kind of coming up for 2016, it's basically, in the following days, just quick, in the near future, it's going to be, I'm going to continue posting for the next tournament. Those should come out in rapid fire. I was supposed to do the rest of them, but because of my job and I got sick and then the internet stopped, it just kind of everything just got together. So the rest of the fights are going to come. So we finally have the first rounds out of the way so we can go to the semifinals. So that's going to be a thing. Definitely. That's the future for Virtual Warriors. Now, of course, you'll have proper also episodes. Although I consider those proper episodes too, but like, you know, fictional famous characters fighting each other. Thinking about what kind of fights I could do. And I want to make it a weekly thing. Might be a bi-weekly thing, depending on how I can get the production value. I always think I can do it in a shorter time. It always turns out to be longer. Write me a comment. What do you think? There's certain videos I can come out in rapid fire. I can do weekly, like Let's Plays. Let's Plays is not a big deal, really. I mean, I like doing them. And I'm not saying you cannot put a lot of work and effort into Let's Plays. You can do a lot of editing and work, and I'm not saying you can. But I like to do it, some work, some editing. But if I get too crazy on it, then it never comes out, because I always want to make it a little bit better, a little bit here. Oh, let's put a little animation there. Let's put a little cut here. Let's put a little picture there. Let's put a little soundbite here and there. So, I don't know. What do you think, guys? I don't know if any of you guys are watching my Let's Plays. I recently put up the Talisman, the fifth part of the Talisman show. Yes, if you're listening to this for the first time, I do also do Let's Plays. And the next episodes are coming out is probably also the Doom Let's Play. That should be finished soon. That one is pretty hilarious, I think. I mean, I enjoy it. What else still? There's of course there's the XCOM Drunk Let's Play, which I have neglected, because that one is kind of a lot of work. And I'll be honest, guys, I get a little bit discouraged when I put a lot of work in a video and I got, you know, like, I'm not a view hound. The views are not that important to me. You know, it's like, I'm a small channel. I know that, you know, maybe a little bit bigger than the really tiny channels. And I don't even care about the size, you know, like the channel. It's all about, I've seen such good videos of small channels. I've got like favorite small channels that make such, that made such fucking great videos. And that's what like old YouTube was about, you know, these small channels just having these crazy videos. And but anyway, I'm getting off topic. The point is that sometimes I put a lot of work in a video and it almost doesn't get viewed, and I make another video that is much simpler and it gets a lot of views. Now, I have some videos that I put a lot of work in that are viewed a lot, like the Baldur's Gate 2 review. That one is like just going up there. I think it passed even my Castlevania port comparison, which I must also give a shout out to my friend and next round colleague, Michael Smith, who helped me with that one with a great shout out. And I definitely, port comparison is a series I always wanted to continue with more. I want to spin off in its own series, but it's just, honestly, it's a lot of work. I mean, half of it is getting the footage of the games, really. Once you got the footage, then you got to just basically analyze it. And I know people have been telling me things like, oh, like the DOS Castlevania game, that it has ad-lib sound support. And yeah, something I missed. You know, I could have maybe tried to make it work through DOSBox if it's possible, and then judge it. Because ad-lib is definitely much better. Anything is better than PC speakers. But, you know, it was a first impression, and I'm never saying, like everything in the world, like everything that humans do, my videos have flaws, some more than others. I mean, there's certain internet people you could ask that they might have, you know. Anyway, I'm not going to continue with that. What I wanted to say is here that I definitely want to talk more about video games, and I also would like to talk about movies. And I want to ask you here, guys, that I'd like to review movies, either in audio or video form. Now, I do want to show some footage, and I know YouTube is really, really weird with that, with their whole, because I really would just like do fair use, only showing very small, short clips, you know, nothing too long, but fair use is kind of weird, and since everybody can flag anybody, I don't want to risk it. So I'm thinking of possibly putting the reviews on Daily Motion, or what is the other one? I don't even know the other one anymore, I can't think of it, but if I would do, you would see it on the channel. And another thing I would like to talk about is more music, but that's the one thing, again, that has been holding me back, that my favorite music, again, I don't want to put it here on the show because it's like, you know, it's not open source. It's copyrighted, and I want to actually support the band, you know, so even just having short clips, it just makes it hard to talk about the song. Yeah, this power metal band is really cool. I'm really into power metal, and I have been for a while. And this one is really good, and I'm like, I just talk about it, but I cannot show you any of it. It's a little bit, I know there's good music reviewers. I love music, but that's not my specialty that much. Like, talking about the differences and stuff, I could just do it as, you know, like, I don't know. Maybe it would be good. I want to talk more about metal music, definitely. Maybe just talking about it in a general sense. Like, I definitely, what I want to say with this long intro here is that I want to talk more about different topics too, because I am interested in many things. I think it was just at the moment, the time when I was doing these Beastcat episodes, there was a lot of updates going, like really ground bait in this whole superhero movie and TV shows wave, so to speak. So that was like a very topic that I could easily ramble about. You know me and my rambling, right? As people call me, the Rambler. Or people, by people I mean Kaiser and Swingle. But actually Kaiser came out with that, I think. But I want to expand the Beastcast to still nerdy, but topics that interest me. And I will. And the first thing I'll do with this, it's my first topic for the show. We're moving away from the little update that we got now. But before I dive into the topic, I wanted to ask you guys, you had any suggestions what you would think would be cool if I talk about. You know, I'm talking to anybody who's listening to this, my core audience, or any new fans. You know, if you're listening to this first time, what would you like for me to talk about? You know, it has to be something I'm interested in, you know. And I got a couple of suggestions already. I got some from TomcatX. I got some from CF and some other people. People who listen to my show are considered good friends, and their opinions matter to me a lot. Also Kaiser, Swingle, Michael Smith, you know, the Next Row guys, Death Adder 82, of course, Lucifer's Lawyers, all these good guys here. But so write me what you think, okay? Because I just want to kind of, you know, open the horizons a little bit for the Beastcast, for the gaming beast in general. So let's jump into the first topic. And this topic is, again, connected from a suggestion that CF made in one of his last Tiger Claw episodes. I believe it's not the very last, it's the one before. And CF was challenging me that because he was talking about how I'm basically the superhero movie podcast. And in a way, I am. But he was challenging me that I should talk about another type of movie, and it's a type of movie that it's one of my favorite genres, science fiction, and one of the two biggest science fiction franchises, especially space adventure science fiction, bar none, Star Wars and Star Trek, both talked about a lot in recent times, especially Star Wars, because Episode 7 hit, and it was a major, major hit. I think it's now the highest grossing movie in America. It's also very highly rated. I must say I watched it with my brother. I've only watched it once so far. I don't know if I'm going to watch it a second time. Not because I didn't like it, because I enjoyed it so much. I want kind of this first impression to sink in. Like, I want this to be a special moment. Because, like, when the original Star Wars movies came out, I was a bit too little to watch them. Like, the first one, I wasn't even alive. The second one, you know, you can like guess how old I am, that I was just born, basically. My brother did see episode 6, Return of the Jedi, in a movie theater. And I could have watched that, and I didn't, but it would have been cool. But I think I was just too young at the time. But I remember when they showed the when Star Wars came back, in a sense, when they did the special editions. And I know, Han shot first, everything, yada, yada. But for me, and I'm not defending Lucas, because the changes he made, a lot of them were bad, I agree. And I didn't like that he changed the movies really at all. But for me, the cool thing was is that I could see Star Wars, the original Star Wars trilogy, in movie theaters. And they did that also because they were working on the prequel movies, the much-hated prequel movies. I mean, much hated is like a thing to say. Han, who said that he, on Twitter, he enjoyed the movies. I will disagree with you there, Hanu, if you're listening to this. I hope you are. That would be cool. I didn't like them. But, you know, I really wanted to like them. Like, when I was how old was I? I think I was 15, 16. What was it, 99? So, yeah, I was like 16. 16 when episode 1 hit. And we just moved to Hungary from Germany, and it was so exciting when I saw the first announcement. The first poster I remember was Haley Joel Osment playing young Anakin, standing in the desert in Tatooine, obviously, and his shadow is falling, and it's the shadow of Darth Vader. And it looks so cool. The fact that it was a new Star Wars movie, I thought we will never see a new Star Wars movie. I thought it was done. But it was so fucking amazing. Like, you can't even, like, the only time I was even excited in the same way is when I saw the first Spider-Man trailer. Because X-Men that was cool. Like, I was excited for X-Men. But Spider-Man, I mean, that was a whole different ballpark, you know. That was so exciting at the time. And it was the trailer, the World Trade Center trailer, which was, it was like an entire mini film, because that scene was never in the movie. It was one of those trailers. But that one got banned. Like, they didn't show it, because then September 11 hit, you know, It's a horrible thing that happened. But episode one, that was just the... I remember going to the movie theaters, and I watched it multiple times. I watched it like four times, I think. I wanted to like it so much. I grew up... Like, here's a little backstory on me. And I know Swingle is already sighing. I can hear a sigh because no new stories or something. Or like grumble, grumble. I'm just kidding, Swingle. When I was a kid, Star Wars The New Hope was the first live-action film that I've seen. Star Wars and Superman the movie. I talked already. You probably, if you listen to the show, you know that I'm like Superman the motion picture is still my favorite Superman movie and one of my favorite movies, bar none. And Star Wars is one of the other ones. Now, technically, I think Empire is definitely the best movie out of the three. But you gotta have first Star Wars to have Empire, and you need Empire to have Jedi. And Jedi is, Return of the Jedi is a very good film. It's actually in many ways my favorite because it's the climactic ending. And when people are annoyed, where's the little Ewoks? They're the little hobo Care Bears. And I'm like, yeah. And they're fighting the fucking stormtroopers. It's fucking awesome. What's your problem with Ewoks, you know? Appreciate those you know, those people, those dwarfs who are in the costume, like Warwick Davis, who played Wicket and later Willow, one of my favorite fantasy films. It's actually my favorite fantasy film by none, bar none. That they are like in those costumes, like at heat. It was just cool because they felt more alien and they felt more like. Like in different race and more like that they were, you know, they weren't high tech advanced. It was so cool in many ways. There were so many cool things about Jedi. But Empire, like in Clerks, they said it because it has a downer ending. I just thought it had the most emotional impact, you know, Empire had. And it was the most, it felt like the most dramatic in many ways. And it wasn't where, like, literally, the good guys don't win, they lose in many ways, you know? Like, Luke almost dies, gets his hand cut off, finds out there's Darth Vader, the main evil guy, basically Space Hitler is his father. He gets saved in the nick of time, of course, because you need your main characters, by Leia and Han. Well, actually, Leia, sorry. Oh, I know you're gonna... Han gets freaking captured. Frozen in Carbonite, you know, it is a great movie. The more I think about it, I gotta rewatch it because, I mean, the first Star Wars was a fun pulp space adventure. There's a lot of cool things established. There was one downer part where Obi-Wan dies, but I think that was just simply done because Alec Guinness didn't want it to. He hated the movie. He thought it was the dumbest thing ever. He even told fans, like, there was a kid fan coming to him who said he really loved the movie and he wanted like a, oh, it's the guy who plays Obi-Wan. And Alec Guinness told him like, this is the stupidest film ever and you're stupid to like it. And I'm like, come on, Alec Guinness. I know he doesn't live anymore. I don't want to say anything bad about him. He's like this huge icon actor. But I think, man, like if you don't like it, like that's fine. But if there's a child who has this is a film that was technically directed for children, you know, and I mean, some people are just like this. They don't like the product they're in. Harrison Ford famously didn't like Star Wars to be in. I mean, it's amazing he came back for episode 7. But anyway, so just quick, I'm going to finish here. I love Star Wars. I grew up with Star Wars. And episode 1, I really wanted to like it. But honestly, like, I was focusing on the lightsaber duels, and I like Qui-Gon Jinn, and Evan McGregor was kind of cool. I said, wow, this is Obi-Wan, I'm still young, and still Padawan and shit, and Darth Maul was cool. But other than that, you know why it's bad. Why should I explain it to you? There's been, like, an army of nerds, literally, talking about, how old are these movies? Episode 1 came out in 1999, I believe, and It's like 2016 now, so oh my god. Episode 1 is almost 20 years old. I feel old now. Sorry. That movie is almost 20 years old. I remember when it came out and it was the biggest shit and the CGI was fucking amazing at the time. Even though it was like a lot of it was stupid. Like it might have been Jar Jar Binks at the time. Was just as annoying as always. And I just thought to myself, it's like, they put in so much money and effort to make him look realistic at the time. Of course, now it's dated CGI, like CGI usually does. But I loved, you know, I loved a lot of things. I like the beginning, they're fighting the robots, you know. But there's a lot of things I didn't like about it. But you look at episode 7 now. Don't worry, I'm not going to spoil anything about it. And it's kind of hard to talk about episode 7 and not spoil it. But I'm going to tell you that. Why I liked episode 7, and I'm trying to avoid spoilers, and if I do say a spoiler, I'm going to edit it out. Episode 7 was great because it reminded me why Star Wars is great. And because it felt like a Star Wars film. Now, that's also one of its problems. Yes, it has problems. Not many, because it's very good, it's very fun. It deserves the praise it gets. There's some people who are hating on it for some reason. Because I guess it's the hipster thing to do because now it's popular. Now we have to hate it. I'm just going to say, hey, haters going to hate. Come on, the prequels, they happen. It's done, you know. I liked about episode 7 that it wasn't based on... Honestly, I'm somewhat upset that they decanonized the entire expanded universe, like the entirety of it. Not just parts of it, the entirety. And they just said, oh, you know, forget everything except the movies. In the Clone Wars series, and I think their new series, CGI series that they have, and I'm like, oh yeah, that guy, I don't know. I haven't watched Clone Wars yet, either the movie or the series. I will watch it eventually, because I was kind of hesitant watching that because I was too afraid it's going to be too much like the prequels. And anyway, so episode 7. One of its biggest strengths is also its biggest weakness, that they took a lot of hints, visual hints, story things about the original, what we now know as 4, 5, and 6 movies, the original trilogy, and incorporated that in episode 7. You know, there was... I felt sometimes when I was seeing scenes, it felt to me a lot like episode 4, you know, there was so many like kind of like shout outs to the old movies where there was a scene where they went to an alien bar and they even focused on the band. Now they weren't playing the song, the famous cantina theme. Because at this point it's like 30 years old, so it would be like an oldie, that song. And it was not exactly the same aliens, but it still felt like this is the cantina scene. Oh, this is the scene on the very end, because of course, to hell with it. Okay, I'm giving you a warning here. From now on, there's gonna be spoilers for Star Wars, okay? So if you haven't seen it, go out and watch it. And come back and listen to this, because, okay, I'm going to put that in the description. There's going to be spoilers, okay? Just like Death Adder is really cool. He did also a review on Force Awakens. Again, big-ass warning. There's going to be spoilers. Star Wars spoilers. I'm going to put it in the description from now on. Do not listen if you haven't seen Episode 7 yet. Okay. I'm going to give you a little bit of time here. Okay. Good. We're entering now spoiler territory. Imagine I'm opening up the gates to Oz, you know, and you're entering now to spoiler Oz land, whatever. I'm the wizard of spoilers, so to speak. And I'll stop with the reference. Anyway. So, in this one, they got again a Death Star. No, actually now they have a Death Planet. which a Death Star would imply would be as big and powerful as a star. But they don't call it Death Star because now what they have is literally they built in, like, it looks like still half a planet, but the middle part is like built into a giant Death Star. So it's not a Death Planet. So it's like, oh, it's a Death Star, but it's bigger. And what it does, it blows up planets. Yes, multiple planets now. And it uses, it literally absorbs the sun to do so. Now, my problem with this is that, okay, so their big thing is they got a Death Star again, and it's bigger. That was one of my biggest issues, that I felt like, did we need another Death Star? You know, the Death Star was cool in the first movie. In Return of the Jedi, it was already bigger, and it is actually bigger. And it is operational anyway, but it was cool in Return of the Jedi, but it was also like, well, you're kind of reusing a gimmick, you know. It's like they still used it really well. In the first one, it was very powerful because it was so crazy, and like they literally blow up Alderaan. They don't just like try to blow up a planet and a good guy save them. They actually blow up Alderaan. And to be fair, this one, they actually blow up again, yet again, multiple planets. And that's how, what they call now, instead of the Empire, they have now kind of this, the New Order or something like that. And it's kind of, I guess, a new faction that was created out of the Empire. So the Empire was defeated now. This is canon. Because in other, like, they had, like, other expanded universe novels that continued the story where the Empire wasn't defeated. And it made sense to me because I didn't imagine that the entire base of the Empire, I mean, this is, like, galaxy-spanning shit. I mean, you blow up the Death Star, that's a big deal, but you're talking about an entire galaxy. But anyway, so this is the canon. The Empire was defeated, but out of the ashes of the Empire, they have the New Order. And it's cool. It's basically the Empire, more or less. Kylo Ren is he's not on the very top again. He's basically this generation's Darth Vader. And again, spoiler alert, I already did before. If you haven't seen it yet, Kylo Ren is Ben Solo, Han Solo and Leia Organa's son. And that is very interesting, and it was a little bit expected because I know there is a entire novel series where Han and Leia have twins. So I'm kind of interested in if they had any, if they were inspired, because they said even though they decanonized the entire expanded universe, they said they will pick and choose things from the expanded universe they think are cool. And I'll tell you in a second. Kylo Ren, there's a lot of people saying he's very emo, and he, like, there's the main characters, the main good guys are like, you have Rey, who's this chick in the desert, and you don't really know, she's pretty cool, I like her. You don't really know, she's like almost like the first, that was the thing, is that there was Finn, and he, the black stormtrooper dude, and people were thinking, oh, is he going to be, like, just in the stormtrooper outfit, or is he a stormtrooper? It turns out he's a stormtrooper, and it's really cool, because it gives the stormtroopers more of a human side. They're more dimensional now, because this is a time when the stormtroopers are not just genetically bred, and I think in canon, even at the time of episode 4, there weren't any clone troopers left. The stormtroopers in episode 4 are actually people who have been enlisted. And because I think what happened is that the clone troopers there was some genetic flaw because of the gene pool or something, and they phased them out slowly and they added more and more hired people. And this is where we are now, where the stormtroopers are all. They're not only like, their parents are killed. And they're raised, and then they're basically mentally programmed to be the killing machines. And Finn is just one of those stormtroopers that, in the beginning, you see they're basically slaughtering this entire village. And it's interesting because you always have this joke, oh, the stormtroopers cannot hit anything. I mean, they're hitting people, like, left and right, you know, and no problem. Okay, there's one guy with a flamethrower. Maybe he's one of those that can't shoot. That's why he's got a flamethrower, you know. I don't know. It was cool. Stormtroopers versus flamethrowers. Flamethrower. So a flametrooper? Because they got, like, in the expanded universe, they had so many different types of stormtroopers. They got a couple. They got the snow troopers, the speed troopers, whatever, the speedster, cycle troopers, whatever. They got, like, all these things. And in the expanded universe, they had all kind of Ghibli Goop troopers, you know, like dark troopers and shit like that. So now it looked really cool. They changed a little bit the design of the stormtrooper helmets, but I don't mind because this is a new generation, it's a new time. But it still felt like it still was the same thing. It was just somewhat changed and redesigned. And I mean, it's like 30 years. I mean, of course they're going to have an update. You know, it's probably better material and shit. So they take out this entire village because they think that Rey is on the village and they're trying to hunt her down or something. Or they need the robot, the BB-88 robot, who is there. This is the new R2-D2, and it's a little ball with an R2-D2 head. Kind of cute, kind of cool. I like him. Or it, whatever. In general, what I'm saying is that the characters, they're new and fresh, and yet sometimes I feel that there's a lot of things that they... Because, for example, Rey and Finn... Finn meets up with this guy, the Bo, whatever. I think his name is Bo. And he didn't get as much, like, camera time, but he was cool. He's like the best pilot of the Resistance. And, which is now led by General Organa, you know. It's Princess Leia, but she's now a general. She, like, gave up the title, apparently, and became a general. Well, technically, I would have imagined she would have been now Queen Organa, but I guess she just gave up the title. But I think it's cool that she's a general, you know, she's got a new role, and Carrie Fisher did a great job, I think, and it was great to have her there. It was great to have, of course, Harrison Ford and Chewbacca, of course. I think it's the same actor who played him. I know he doesn't voice act, but I think it should be the same actor. I know Kenny Baker's the guy who was in R2-D2. I think everybody returned. Now, a lot of people were like, where's Luke, where's Luke, where's Luke? And that's the whole thing. Everybody's looking for Luke in the movie. That's the whole thing, because he has went back and hid from the new order. And I like that, because they're saving up Luke for the sequel. In general, what I feel is that... is that the movie was very good, very powerful. It was a good story. It felt like Star Wars. Some of the scenes were very reminiscent of Episode 4, some of other movies. And that was a little bit, that was cool, but sometimes it got a little bit repetitive. But it wasn't bad. Like, overall, it wasn't so bad. It's not a deal breaker, shall I say. It was a very tight Star Wars film. There was, for example, one of the things I missed in the prequels trilogy was that there was no good starship battles, really. Like, there was Episode 1 where you have fucking Anakin just like, oh, here's a starship. And like, yeah, I can fly a starship. Oh, I blew up the station. Oh, because I'm Anakin. I'm like, you know what? It's like, you should earn... I know he's the chosen Mary Sue or Mary Sue character at this point, and he's got, like, a special affinity with the Force, but it shouldn't be that easy, number one. And it's, like, felt like it just was such a cop-out, and most of the ship designs that weren't that great. The one I can remember in Episode 2 was when Boba Fett was hunting Obi-Wan's ship, or Jango Fett. And that was one of the few cool things, was Jango Fett, or Boba Fett's dad, and they gave him a bigger role. And it was like also the fight between Obi-Wan and Jango, but I mean, Episode 2 was just so bad. None of that could save Episode 2. And honestly, it just felt also very heavily relied on CGI. But this one had, of course, CGI. This is the modern age. when we want to do special effects that we cannot do physically or would be too expensive or just wouldn't be possible, we do CGI. And that's fine. And nowadays CGI is really advanced and really cool. We're getting to the point where we cannot recognize what is CGI, what is not. We're getting there, you know? Like, especially like machinery or things that are far away or big, it's like getting there. Because I could see they put a lot of effort into the CGI. They put a lot of effort with the shading and everything that looked really good. But the cool thing was they mixed it with practical effects. Like when you had the scene when they're in the desert town, I think it was again Tatooine, they had some aliens that were practical effects, you know, guys in rubber masks or animatronics, and they had some CGI people. And it mixed really well. Same with when they were in the semi-cantina scene. That wasn't the cantina, but same diff. Some aliens, they were CGI. Some were, again, people in costume. And it worked really well because there's a really high-end, high-quality latex costumes with maybe animatronic parts. Maybe parts of their faces are with CGI. It's like, I like that because they're combining it, and that helps with the realism. You know, it helps also, it gives it a different feel. And so it didn't rely, and that's what J.J. Abrams promised, that he wouldn't fucking CGI everything. You know, he's gonna use the budget to do also as many practical effects as he can. Of course, they had the Millennium Falcon. That was cool. There was this whole scene where they're like chasing TIE fighters, and that's again inspired a lot from Episode 4. I mean, there's like, go down the shaft, there's the laser, and it's like and they follow, it's the exact same thing. The aiming system, they didn't change it. It's still this old school like little old school 80s graphics, you know, and I like that. I like all this stuff. The thing is though, and I don't want to be ungrateful, but the thing was, though, I felt everything was there, slightly changed. There was almost no completely original ship designs. I'd like to see more. And there was a couple, but most of the time it focused like on the Millennium Falcon. There was a Star Destroyer. Yes, it was a little bit changed, a little different. Just like the TIE Fighters, they were well designed, redesigned, but it was still TIE Fighter. There was a ship on the very beginning. It looked like the ship where the old one that came out of the Emperor. Again, that one was more redesigned, where it looked almost like... And I will applaud the designers at a good choice. I do hope, though, and it's not just the ship designs. It's a lot of little things where, like, they're stuck in a sense because they went the very safe way, in a sense. And because... Okay. Here's a big-ass spoiler, the biggest fucking spoiler. If you've been listening and you haven't been listening to my spoiler warnings, listen to it now, okay? Big fucking spoiler warning again. I'm telling you. Go watch the movie and come back and listen to the show. Okay. Of course, there's a whole scene, and I already predicted that, in a sense. But especially once it starts... I mean, everybody, this is not easy, this is not hard to predict. You have the thing about Han and Leia, they feel like, you know, the whole reason Luke went away because he was trying to train a new generation of Jedi, which that's everybody knew that's what Luke's going to do. A lot of in the expanded universe, including in Jedi Knight, that's what Luke does. He starts training a new generation of Jedi because you need the Jedi to help to control the galaxy, because the Sith will always return. And the only thing that's going to stop the Sith is the Jedi. Now, Luke started training, and he decided to train Leia's and Han's son, Ben Solo, or Kylo Ren, as he's now known. And Kylo, basically, because he listened to this guy who's basically the new replacement emperor, you know, he's basically the emperor. I mean, I'm curious to say, they mentioned a couple of things that I don't know what they are, and I like that. So I'm curious to see who this guy is and how he works in it. Where the fuck was he in the other movies? Like, where was he hiding, you know? And because he looks like an old guy, you know, and he has to be, he was probably around in the previous movies, you know, so is he the guy who trained maybe Palpatine, the Darth Sidious, you know? I'm curious, because that would be, for example, cool. He's like the Uber Emperor, you know, the Uber Sith Master in that sense. Anyway, so basically, you know, basically in the end, Han and Leia decide Luke goes away because he feels responsible for what happened to Kyle and the other people, and that's where he hides. Han and Leia said that, you know, we always believe that he is good in him, you know. And Han tries, they're in the base, it's in the towards the end of the movie. And this is the big spoiler here, watch out. Really, watch out. No. Han goes into the base, he tries to talk to Kylo. They plan charges to blow up the convenient plot device, power source for the Death Planet. To help the guys, the X-Wing fighter squadrons. And they're doing that, but then Han says, okay, I gotta try, you know, because it's my son. So he goes up there, and they're in the middle of a bridge, and you know already what's gonna happen, you know. And really what it is, Han tries to convince his son to come back to the good guys, you know. And his son, he's definitely conflicted because he doesn't know. He wants to, he says himself he calls it seduced by the light side, where he doesn't want to be on the light side, but he's like, you know, they're kind of pulling him towards that. And Kylo is like, you know, could you please do this one thing for me? And basically in the end, he stabs Han with the lightsaber, killing him, Han falling down. And it was kind of predictable, but it was also like, you know, like, it's a big ass emotional scene, just like with Empire. It's even crazier, you know. But it's also predictable because even though, you know, Harrison Ford came back, he came back for a big paycheck, but they knew, well, he's not getting younger. He doesn't really want to make the movies, even though he did a great job. He was in the movie. He wasn't just a cameo. He was in the movie. He was one of the main characters. Even though, yes, the main heroes is, of course, Rey, Finn, and Bo. Although Bo is a little bit in the backseat, but he's the guy, basically, the pilot. He's the guy in the X-Wing fighter. And what I like about Bo is another thing I get back. But that's the thing is they have a lot of the same visual and some of the story plot elements, but it's still really good. What I'm hoping for. And basically, so what happens is, and it turns out that Rey is actually the Force sensitive. And she, because everybody thought Finn is going to be the Jedi, and people were thinking, oh, is he like Han's and Leia's son, or is he like, you know, how would that work? It couldn't work. So he's an adopted son, or then people thought he's like the son of Han because he used to have a black girlfriend, something like that, which could have been interesting. But it turned out that Finn is the stormtrooper, and he just, there's some scenes where he uses the lightsaber, and it was a trick from the filmmakers, from JJ, because even on the poster, he's wielding the lightsaber. Rey's wielding a staff of some sort, a techno staff. So that's what I find interesting, is that they pulled the wool over our eyes, and that's what I liked, because even in the trailers, you always saw Kylo against Finn. But really, Finn, they fight for a short time, and he gets injured pretty heavily. You think he's dead. He gets a big ass slash in the back. And then Rey is really angry. And then she pulls with the Force power. She pulls the lightsaber to her. And then they fight. And then people were complaining that Kylo got defeated so easily. I was like, he didn't get defeated easily. And you got to remember, they're setting up a big ass trilogy. You cannot. And people think that, oh, because she defeated him now, he's not the big threat. And I think it's different. This is a different movie. And this is what I liked about it, that they did it differently. Because when Luke challenged Darth Vader, Darth Vader was much more ahead with his training. He was much more experienced. It was a different fight. And it was a different stakes, you know. With this, they're both young. They're both obviously highly Force sensitive, you know. Obviously because Kylo is a descendant of Darth Vader Anakin. Who he's admiring. That's why he wears the black outfit. That's why he wears the mask, the helmet. He doesn't have any cybernetic parts. He's wearing the helmet out of, I guess, as a protection. But I think he's wearing it because he admires his grandfather so much. And he says, there's a scene where he says, I'm going to continue what you started. And he looks at the destroyed helmet from Darth, from Anakin. And, you know, I think he's an interesting character. He's definitely more conflicted. Yeah, he sometimes gets over a little bit emo, but it's honestly, it's not so bad, people. You know, you make a big-ass deal out of that. He's starting his journey. This Emperor dude said he's going to complete his training now, and he's going to be more and more dangerous than ever. And Rey was really just fighting. It was almost the Force was leading her. You know, and now in the end, she actually finds Luke, and that's how the movie ended. It was really good. And Luke was just silent, and she just, wants to hand over his old lightsaber. And this is the blue lightsaber. This is the original one that Darth chopped off. And somehow, there's this weird-looking alien chick, this old one. Well, she looks pretty cool. CGI, of course, but well done, really well. And there was a scene that reminded me, like, you have to go down to the cellar, you'll find there something. And it kind of reminded me when Luke was training with Yoda in Dagobah. And one of my favorite scenes is that go into the cave and Luke asks, what do you find? And he says, whatever you will take with you. And it was such a weird and trippy, but also great scene because he faces literally his greatest fear. Suddenly, it's like a dreamlike state. It doesn't seem real. I don't think it was. It was just in his mind, really. And suddenly Darth Vader appears. He doesn't know why. They start fighting, but everything seems slow and dreamlike. It doesn't feel real. Luke then defeats Darth Vader. Darth Vader falls down, and the mask is destroyed, and he sees his own face. He fears that he becomes Darth Vader, like his father. That's his greatest fear. Or wait, now that's the funny part. By funny, I mean, not so funny. It's more like he thinks that he doesn't know that Darth Vader is his father. So that's the, and that was so great. And this is here where we don't know still who Rey is exactly. We know she's some chick who's in the desert collecting junk and selling it. She seems like a really good person, cares about people and droids, like BB-88. But she's waiting for her family who left her there. We don't know who her family is. Now, this is just what I'm thinking. This is the thing. That's why this was a good movie, because they want to set up a trilogy. We're excited for episode 8 now. Like, I'm excited for episode 8. I'm really excited because we don't know exactly who Rey is. Now, I'm guessing, this is my guess, there's one obvious guess, that she's the daughter of Luke Skywalker, you know? Or I'm also maybe, this one is less likely that she's somehow related to Obi-Wan. But the thing is that she has to be somehow related. She might be actually the sister of Ben Solo, maybe. But that's the thing, is that it wouldn't make sense why Han and Leia would abandon her. With Luke, when he went away, it would make sense because he went away because he felt ashamed over his failure and he couldn't see into his eyes of his daughter. Now, you might think he's a bad father, but maybe he didn't think straight at that point, you know? I mean, it was a horrible thing because Kylo Ren, he slaughtered all of the Jedi that he was trying to train. And not only did he let down all the people that were dead, he let down Han and Leia, who the reason why they gave the training to Luke, because they wanted that that Ben would become a Jedi, not a Sith. But the other guy, the other master, that's what Leia said, the other master, or I think Han, basically influenced him too much and got him, and basically told him that the dark side is better. The thing is here that it would make sense that Rey is Luke's daughter, because when she found Luke's original lightsaber, the blue one, and the question is, how the hell did they get that? It was chopped off with Luke's hand. It didn't got destroyed, that is true, because Darth Vader chopped it off, and it fell. Now, I know this is movie magic, and I shouldn't care, but, you know, I'm a nerd, so. It fell through Cloud City, through that pipe thing. Now, it might have got stuck there somewhere, or it might have, because I think Cloud City is literally in a gas planet, you know? So, if we're super scientific, it would have fallen through that into the gas planet, and then pressure would have crushed it. But of course, the woman said she doesn't know, the woman who had it, she doesn't know how she got it, or she wouldn't tell. And maybe it was destiny, literally. The Force brought the lightsaber there, because lightsabers are, they're not just simple, technical, high-tech, sci-fi energy swords, you know? Every lightsaber that is made by a Jedi is made, and I don't know if it's canon or not, but I think it is still, because every lightsaber, the reason why they have specific colors, because they are made by the Jedi, by the people who wield them, and every one of them has a specific crystal, and in Wikipedia, they actually would say what color, where the crystal was coming from. And for example, Mace Windu, who was one of the few cool characters from the prequel trilogy, because Samuel L. Jackson as a Jedi, come on. As much as you want to hate on the prequels, and I agree with you, Mace Windu was a cool character and kind of could have been underused. But he did chop off Jango Fett's head, like, whoa, you know? His lightsaber was purple. And that was special because apparently that crystal was so hard to get because it's like a part of some really powerful beast of some planet. So that's why it was special, for example. And there's usually the Jedi, they have either the blue or the green ones or the yellow. Do they have the yellow ones? I think so. Because I always felt, at least in the Expanded Universe, it was usually red for the evil guys and yellow. But it doesn't really matter. The point is that the lightsaber in general, the crystal, all the parts are built by the person, and it's a personal weapon, you know? And, I mean, you know, so, and when she touched it, she had a vision of the future, you know? She had a vision, and I'm sometimes curious if they're going to have also some footage from the old movies, because, especially the old trilogy, you know, like, basically, she had some kind of a vision, and it's usually, I feel, because not just this was her first awakening of the Force, this is the Force Awakening. Not just the Force Awakening, that there's going to be probably much more Jedi in the sequel. It's her, she's awakening, her, the powers inside of her. Because this one didn't have that much Jedi and lightsabers and everything like in the prequels. That was one of the things I did like, because everybody loves the Jedi. Because, I mean, that's the thing, is that I love the X-Wing battles, I love the laser battles, they're all great. But just from a visual perspective, what makes Star Wars unique and really cool is the lightsaber battles. I mean, as much as I hated Episode 2, it was cool, and as much as it was just CGI nonsense, one side I did like that there was all these Jedis there, you know, at once, and they were fighting. That looked cool. It was like something that looked really cool in a shitty movie. And I didn't felt that they didn't have, but literally they made it in front of a green screen, and I felt like, eh. Anyway, I think that Rey is Luke's daughter, because she did mention that her family left her there, and she knows all about, and they put that in the trailer, and it's the fucking Chekhov's gun. If it's not important, they won't. If they show it, it's going to be used. It's going to be something that's going to come back, either in this movie or in the sequels. So I'm excited for Star Wars. Disney did a great job. And the best thing for Star Wars is that Lucas is not involved. You know, I'm like, I thank George Lucas for starting the franchise, but he was too powerful. He, like, Lucifer Lars said something really good to me where he said, he said to me that George Lucas, they needed somebody who tells them no, basically, you know. So I'm going to see how much time we got, because Okay, it's 50 now. Okay. You know what, guys? I said I will talk about Star Trek, but I love Star Wars so much that I could talk an entire hour. So this is going to be my Star Wars episode. And what's going to happen now, I'm going to, like, just stop this episode now because an hour, I don't want to get longer. I will have an episode on Star Trek, on the latest Star Trek movies, on the old ones that I liked, TV shows, movies, comic books, whatever I like, because I am a Star Wars fan and a Star Trek fan. Deal with it. Both are really good because they're both different and they're great. And it's like people in space shooting lasers. I mean, that alone is already fucking great. So anyway, I'm gonna leave this here, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, and may the force be with you, fellow bestials.